and more times than I can count, I have called you mine. You have stood by me in my
life from New York City. It's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we're going to take a look at the latest in how we can influence our metabolism through circadian rhythms, three beneficial colloids and the conditions they can help treat, chewing gum. Chewing gum is not good. Why? And I'll tell that to you, share that with you. And then chocolate trumps fluoride. I'll explain that. We have a lot on health and healing. Then from our environmental area, we're going to look at the melting of the West Antarctic glaciers. If you remember about 5 years ago, I said that there's no accurate mathematical model of how long it'll take for this stuff to melt, this ice, largest amount of ice in the world, second only to Greenland, or it's Greenland is second behind Antarctica. And so it's melting, but much faster. What would that mean? I'll give you the update on that. A commentary today from Chris Hedges from Truthdig. Food behind bars isn't fit for your dog. This is the most insightful look at food in prisons that I've ever read, and I'll share that with you. From our public health, the rising threat of antibiotic resistance in the United States. Used to be that if you had an infection, a bacterial infection, and you got an antibiotic, it would help you, and not a big deal. Today, it's a big deal. Tens of thousands are dying because they're not being helped because we have too many antibiotics in our system. It was over a year ago that we reported exclusively on this program about sailors, lots of them, ending up suffering from cancers in young men and women because of Fukushima, because they were there as part of the efforts. Well, just yesterday, the New York Post ran a two-page spread on it, and today it's all over the news. So we'll bring you up to date on that. Dozens of sailors in the USS Ronald Reagan suffering from cancer after Japan earthquake assistance. And the Navy to sailors drop dead. So, from William Boardman, let's begin. We know that nutrition influences metabolism through the circadian rhythms. This is from the University of California at Irvine. A high-fat diet affects the molecular mechanisms controlling the internal body clock that regulates metabolic function in the liver. This is a new discovery. So disruption of these circadian rhythms may contribute to metabolic distress ailments like diabetes, obesity, and high blood pressure. However, there is good news here. The researchers also discovered that returning to a balanced, low-fat diet normalizes the rhythms. And this study reveals that the circadian clock is able to reprogram itself depending upon a diet's nutritional content, which could lead to the identification of novel approaches. Now, for those of us in the health field, we've known this for a long time. If you take anyone who is overweight, suffering from congestive heart failure, high blood pressure, elevated triglycerides, elevated cholesterol, elevated blood sugar, and you put them on a lower fat, but a different type of fat, healthy fats, nuts, olives, olive oil, coconut oil, macadamia oil, flaxseed oil, the omega-3 fatty acids, and you bring down their caloric intake and make sure that they're getting exercise, you'll see that blood sugar comes down, blood pressure comes down, triglycerides come down, homocysteine comes down, and heart conditions improve. So, we've known this, but now they have the actual science to support it. I was in an airport very recently. Person comes over to me. This happens all the time. In some cities like Denver, Atlanta, Miami, West Palm Beach, of course, New York, Los Angeles. My programs are played on PBS stations. I've had over 33 of them. And this past 12 months, over 1,000 showings. So a lot of people, tens of millions of people, have seen the programs. So when you're, you know, in the airports, people come over and chat, ask questions. So this guy comes over and he says, I was watching you and heard you say something about when you go on an airplane, you prepare yourself. I said, that's correct, I do. Well, I fly all the time. Well, what is it? I said, fine, I'll be happy to help you. I said, I start with colloidal silver. He said, what's colloidal silver? I said, well, it's a suspension. It's a suspension where the particulate matter of the silver is almost in a nano size, and it's put into water. And I said, just imagine if you wanted to eat an apple versus juicing the apple. Which would get into your blood and your cells quicker? He said, the apple juice. I said, yes, because it's the nutrients, the antioxidants, polyphenols, are suspended in the liquid, which doesn't require any digestion, goes right into the system. So the colloids are going to go right in. Now, historically, I explained to this man, the colloids have been used. For example, the Persians and the Babylonians used to have water that was put into silver containers because they knew that something, when you combine water into that silver container, protected you. They didn't necessarily know anything about the microorganisms, but they knew something was wrong. And indeed, that was they were correct. Because silver has very powerful antibacterial, antimicrobial, antifungal properties. It's been used for thousands of years. And it's also common in medical treatment. And as I explained to this person, and I'm sharing with you now, colloidal silver's number one asset is that it prevents bacteria from reproducing in our bodies and then helps kill off what is there. So if you had, oh, let's say, a weakened immune system, you're a school teacher or you're a student, and people are coughing and sneezing and just the normal contamination within that environment, you felt yourself coming down with something, you had an upset stomach, what we call the stomach flu. There is no such thing as stomach flu, but there is a upset in your stomach. So if you took a quarter of a teaspoon of colloidal silver, that would help kill off the infective agents. You can use it topically. In fact, those people who knew how to use silver, colloidal silver, would use it on wounds to keep them from becoming infected. Very simple. If you have athlete's feet, spray it with colloidal silver. You have a fungus under your nails, toenails, because your immune system is weak, use a colloidal silver poultice. I've seen people have infections in the eye, a droplet, a couple drops, helps kill that. But what's really important, it kills the really bad bugs. So a word out to all the nurses in this audience, and the physicians, or people who are attending to someone who is susceptible to a hospital-based infection, which could kill over 100,000 people a year. The superbugs right now, like MRSA, make sure that they get two things. Put an ointment of first colloidal silver and then Manuka honey on that and keep it moist. And then give them ozone. That will help save a life. Then you have another type of colloid. Colloid is C-O-L-L-O-I-D. And that's colloidal gold. Now, colloidal gold has a different composition. They're very tiny, tiny particles suspended in water. And unlike colloidal silver, which treats exclusively physical conditions, colloidal gold has a reputation for helping people who have cognitive issues, dementia, and brain fog. Studies have been accomplished that by taking colloidal gold, it can improve cognition. There was an article in Journal of Frontier Sciences that showed this over a one-month period. So that's very important to get a quality colloid. Now, these are not substances you use every day indefinitely, but when you need them, you should have them. And then something I'll bet none of you have heard of, colloidal oatmeal. Yeah. It's been used as a skin cleanser, as a calming agent for people who have different itises, ileitis, colitis, spastic colons, Crohn's disease. Why? And they don't use the instant oatmeal. They use the old-fashioned steel-cut oatmeal. It's very gummy when you cook it. It's a skin cleanser. It soothes the stomach and the lining of the intestine. Why? Well, beta-glucans. What is a glucan? It's polysaccharide. It stimulates collagen deposition and reduces skin inflammation. So oatmeal colloids, which have been around since 1945, help that. But unlike colloidal silver and colloidal gold, which you ingest orally, colloidal oatmeal is used in baths, and it can penetrate our pores and draw toxins from the skin. It can help with eczema, psoriasis, sunburn, acne, diaper rashes, poison ivy rashes, chicken pox. I remember when the boys in my family got chicken pox, my mother would invite other boys who were friends of ours over, and we'd have a chicken pox party. So everybody got chicken pox. But she always put these colloids on, this oatmeal stuff that she made. How she made it, I don't know. So get organic gluten-free oats. They're very good for you, and especially good if you have skin conditions. Next up, some new research from Tel Aviv University and the Meyer Medical Center has found that chewing gum used by teenagers and younger children are giving themselves headaches. So that's the latest, migraine headaches. Now, Dr. Wattenberg said that out of the patients treated, almost 90% had complete headache resolution when they stopped chewing gum. So, stop chewing gum and see if that helps with your migraine headaches. That's easy enough to do. Good news, Global Research just reposted the fluoride article. According to Robert, our social media tech person, over 350,000 websites and pages are featuring the fluoride article. That's gone viral because then you think how many people read that article. Well, some of these sites have 2 million readers. So lots of people are going to read the article, millions upon millions. Of course, if you read it, you'll understand why so many people are interested in fluoride, why you should not have it. This is the latest from Tulane University, some researchers there, according to Natural News. Imagine using chocolate, organic chocolate, of course, to remineralize tooth enamel while discouraging cavities. Sounds almost impossible, right? Not according to researchers at Tulane University. They've come close with a non-toxic chocolate extract that outperforms fluoride. Taking into account the dangers associated with fluoride and its presence in commercial toothpaste and mouthwashes, a chocolate-based replacement offers a palatable solution. Well, fluoride has come under scrutiny over the years, and it should. And it's found everywhere in our drinking water. And according to Christopher Bryson, who wrote The Fluoride Deception, quote, is the most damaging environmental pollutant of the Cold War. It decreases thyroid and kidney function. It creates infertility. It lowers intelligence. It affects cardiovascular conditions. It weakens your bones and increases your cancer risk. It's very bad. Moreover, Fluoride Action Network calls attention to the fact that, quote, just 1 gram of fluoride toothpaste, a full strip of paste on a regular-sized brush, is sufficient to cause acute fluoride toxicity in a two-year-old child, meaning nausea, vomiting, headache, and diarrhea. And the good news is that they now have come up with an alternative, non-toxic chocolate. A doctoral candidate at Tulane University discovered an unlikely player in the fight against tooth decay, an extract derived from the cacao bean. Using leftover human molars, he applied either fluoride or the chocolate extract. Next, the teeth were placed in a specialized machine which pressed an indentation into each tooth. The depth of the depression indicates the hardness of the enamel. And then he observed that the teeth treated with the chocolate extract were more resilient than those where fluoride was used. In a second test, each tooth was left overnight in a solution of either fluoride or the cacao extract. And the following day, the subjected teeth were put into a strong acid for 10 minutes. And when he measured the amount of calcium that had leached into the acid, he found that the teeth soaked with the chocolate extract had lost 8% less calcium than their fluoride counterparts. So that's all good. So now they're coming up with an extract. How about that? Quote, from Duke University, high internet use indicates addictive behavior for young adults. Now, most of us access the internet on a daily basis. It's hard not to when smartphones allow us to check emails on the go in a few taps of a button. But new research suggests that for young adults, heavy internet use may indicate signs of addictive behavior, similar to that found in drug addicts. Now, this is according to research presented at the IEEE International Conference on Advanced Networks and Telecommunication Systems. Researchers from Missouri University of Science and Technology and Duke University Medical Center and Duke Institute of Brain Sciences conducted a study analyzing the internet use of a large group of college students over a two-month period. And what they found was, according to the investigators, the scale identifies specific characteristics of addiction like withdrawal, introversion, tolerance, craving, negative life consequences, rating of loss of control, escapism, and reduced time of daily activities. And they found that the more you're on there, the more difficult it is for you to get off, and then you start spending an enormous amount of time on there, and that creates a dependency, and hence that's an addiction. So wean yourself off and see how you do. Could upping the intake of the vitamin B complex prevent arthritis? Very possibly. Here's the latest. From Natural News, quote, a lack of B vitamins, otherwise known as B complex, is not a well-known reason for rheumatoid arthritis. In fact, a mainstream media channel has completely dismissed the connection. For more than decades, in fact, mainstream media completely dismissed this, though the researchers have noticed significantly lower levels of up to 50% of B complex, especially B5, in those suffering from degenerative joint diseases and arthritis. Now, stress is likely a contributor to these diseases as well, but primarily because prolonged stress puts adrenaline glands into fight-or-flight mode, reducing our B-complex stores. Furthermore, sound nutrition, the very nutrition we talk about every day, including the inclusion of plenty of B vitamins, has a known positive effect on those who suffer from arthritis. After all, rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease and can only be helped when someone's immune system is supported with nutrients the body needs. Unfortunately, the pharmaceutical companies are interested in feeding arthritis patients higher and higher doses of nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories like Celebrex. Taking these drugs can seriously damage the body, including suppressing the immune system. You can supplement your B5 intake with some simple foods that don't cause immune suppression, and that can boost your overall energy level. For example, shiitake mushroom, curcumin mushrooms, cauliflower, broccoli, grapefruit, bell peppers, and asparagus. And of course, there's some outstanding herbs that are very good, and others. By the way, I'd also put tart cherries up at the top of that list of turning off inflammation in the joints, especially the anthocyanins in tart cherries. In fact, a study showed that anthocyanins in tart cherries was as effective as ibuprofen and the over-the-counter pain medication, naproxen, at suppressing enzymes associated with arthritis. Cat's claw, cayenne, all good if you have inflammation in your joints. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. I'm going to take on some issues here. And next up, we're going to look at our environment. And this is the latest in Climate News Network, Tim Radford. Here's what he says. West Antarctic ice loss speeds up. Quote, the rate of ice loss from the West Antarctic appears to have accelerated sharply in the last 4 years, European scientists say. Ice is being lost over the West Antarctic ice sheet at a faster rate. The European Space Agency's Cryosat, a satellite with a radar altimeter that can peer through the clouds and see in the dark, has confirmed that 150 cubic kilometers of ice are drifting into the Southern Ocean each year, a much faster rate than the calculations were before. And so they're looking now and seeing an enormous amount of ice melt that no one had anticipated. So, quote, we find that ice thinning continues to be most pronounced along fast-flowing ice streams of this sector and their tributaries, with thinning rates of between 4 to 8 meters per year near the grounding lines, where the ice streams lift up off the land and begin to float out over the ocean. Well, it's global warming. Now, here's a question. Just yesterday, they announced that they had found a huge lake, water lake, not ice lake, water lake, in Greenland, frozen on top, on the bottom, but in the middle, a lake. How big is the lake of water? Larger than the island of Ireland. That's huge. Could you imagine a lake locked into ice the size of Ireland? Well, here's a question then. What happens when the bottom or the top layers crack and all that water spills out? That's going to happen. The fact that they've now discovered it, and that if you ever go to Greenland and you go up to where it's like 2 miles from the top of the ice down to the rock, and it's all at an angle. And if you look, you can see that it calves off underneath the water. That's what confused people for so long. You know, you look at, you're out there, you're studying the glaciers as they're being pulled into the sea, and then, you know, one will crack and fall into the water. What they didn't know was that the ledges underneath were vastly larger, that were what were breaking off and entering the water, than what was above that you could see. And what happens is that they're now in the summertime, there are thousands upon tens of thousands of little lakes Some can be a couple miles across, maybe 10, 15 foot deep, that are formed when the sun heats up and the water starts to melt, and it forms in these pools. Where does it go? Cracks and fissures take it clear down to the bottom, and then it starts to create a whole skidding, much like you have greased the rocks to make the ice flow into the ocean. So now they got this lake in there. Could you imagine the ecological consequences of what will happen when that cracks and the water pours out, and then that collapses, and then that melts, and then all that becomes destable, and then everything starts in that area begins to fall into the... You could have a tremendous increase in the water level overnight. You go to bed one night, and the water is at one level, and the next day, the whole ocean has increased. That's what's possible. I'm just giving you the heads up that it's going to happen. We just don't know when. But it's if you film it, and I have a new documentary on this, you can go to places all over Greenland, and it looks like Niagara Falls. Huge crevices with water pouring in, billions of gallons. That's what's going on. And yet the world is oblivious to this. Next up, from our public health segment, the rising threat of antibiotic resistance in the United States, from Alternet, Jody Gumile. I'll quote this. Since Alexander Fleming discovered the very first antibiotic, penicillin, in 1928, antibiotics have become a revolutionary tool for fighting infectious disease. For over 70 years, these drugs have greatly reduced illness and death and transformed medical care across the world. Today, antibiotics are still vital in many instances and beneficial when prescribed and taken correctly. However, their widespread overuse and misuse has led to the creation of infectious organisms that have become resistant to the drugs, fueling a rapid increase in antibiotic-resistant bacteria. According to a report by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, at least 2 million Americans are infected with bacteria every year that are resistant to antibiotics. 23,000 die every year as a direct result of these infections or from conditions complicated by the antibiotic-resistant infection. Those who are infected with antimicrobial-resistant organisms are more likely to suffer from their illness for longer durations, require lengthier hospital care, and are more susceptible to death because of the infection. Hence, antibiotic resistance not only places an economic burden on our entire healthcare system, but is considered to be one of the world's most critical public health threats. So how does bacteria become resistant? Well, a recent CDC report explains that when bacteria are exposed to antibiotics over a period of time, they actually start to learn how to outsmart the antibiotics. Every time a person takes antibiotics, sensitive good bacteria in the body are killed off. That's bad. But the resistant germs are left to grow and ultimately multiply, creating superbugs. This in turn leads to limited treatment options and can cause further dangerous bacterial infections that pose high risks to human health. And this is from Steve Solomon, director of the CDC's Office of Microbial Resistance. Quote, "We call it the antibiotic paradox. The more you use antibiotics, the less effective they become. Antibiotics were such a remarkable drug when they were first discovered. Back then, the feeling was that any side effects would be minimal compared to the life-threatening infections that up to that time had never been treatable. Until the 1980s, new antibiotics were being developed very rapidly to combat resistant bacteria. However, progressively, our thinking and mindset towards antibiotics changed. The medical profession became complacent and worried less about antibiotic resistance. In the back of our minds, we believed there would always be a new antibiotic coming along to treat infections. Sadly, this wasn't to be. In the last 10 to 15 years, the development of antibiotics. Sorry, just had a little electrical outage where I'm at. So what has happened is, in the last 10 to 15 years, the development of antibiotics have slowed down tremendously. And as a result, bacteria are resisting. So here's the other part of this. The other part is that we've been treating people for things that they should not get antibiotics for. For example, the common cold or flu. That's viral. Antibiotics are not only not going to help the person, they'll actually kill many of the good bacteria you need. And that's important. Also, children with ear infections. Many of those ear infections are due to allergens, including allergens to gluten and allergens to dairy. And also, many of those ear infections come from over-vaccination. So if we were to build up the child's immunity naturally, then the child wouldn't have those ear infections. Just remember back to the generation that many of us baby boomers come from, ear infections were rare. Today, they're absolutely epidemic because of all the artificial stimulants against the child's natural immune system. So if you start to come down with anything that is bacterial in nature, look to the colloids. Look to wild oregano oil and olive leaf extract. These are what will make a difference. These can help. Now for our commentary, and I want to take a brief break and come back and give you the latest from Chris Hedges on Food Behind Bars Isn't Fit for Your Dog. Plus, tonight at 7 p.m. on the Progressive Commentary Hour, returning with our Conversations with Remarkable Minds. You won't want to miss this. Professor Ashok Gangadine, Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at Haverford College. We're going to talk about a philosophical and psychological exploration into the origins of our society's dysfunction and what we can do about it. Stay with us. Back in a moment. Everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Before we go to our other segments here, Let me just offer you our special of the day. I have two. One is a brand new series called Fascism in the United States, How We Are Becoming a Police State. It is 10 hours. Some of the finest minds you've ever heard have contributed to it, such as Professor Norman Pollack. These are people who have something to say. Now, this isn't about left or right, Democrat, Republican, conservative. This is about how successive administrations and those people in Congress, the 100 senators, the members of the House, the executive branch, have allowed the mechanisms for allowing major business interests to work with governmental agents and lobbyists, over 100,000 lobbyists and consultants that they have hired, a whole army of think tanks and foundations they control to decide what our domestic and foreign policies should be. These are the people who it's in their interest, their corporate interest, their personal interest, their sense of insecurity, their need for power over others, to establish some Faustian notion that they are better than the rest of us because they own a company or own a controlling interest, or their name is on some mega corporation. And so they decide what we should have in the way of a treaty, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership or the Atlantic Partnership, which would destroy all of our sovereignties, our Bill of Rights, our constitutions. Constantly, we are reminded that these people have inordinate power. So why do we allow this? Why do we tolerate it? Because I don't believe most people are even aware that this exists. I don't believe they have any idea until it happens to them. Do you realize how many SWAT teams there are in the United States? Do you realize that they're issuing summonses? That's not what they were supposed to do. The militarization of the police? The police weren't supposed to be militarized. The power of the Homeland Security? Are you aware that in the last 3 days that Congress passed quietly, almost secretly, the National Defense Authorization Act for 2014? Yeah. And so I decided to take the time to talk about this over 10 hours. You haven't heard it before because it wasn't broadcast. I had to record these individuals. And so that's what we have. And we have it for you. And that's our first special. You must hear what these people have to say. It's extremely important. So again, who have I brought on to talk about Fascism, Inc., How America is Becoming a Police State? 10 hours. And it's 50% off the regular price of $100. It's only $50. I have the best minds. Professor Sheldon Wolin, Professor Johan Galtung, Chris Hedges, who's I'm going to do a commentary of his in a moment, Professor Norman Pollack, Professor Andrew Colin, Ray McGovern, Professor Henry Giroux, plus several hours of commentary that I've written for this, including challenging the Patriot Act, why the elites no longer believe in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, and why they don't want us to have that. The Federal Reserve, the banking system, the financial players behind the scenes. This is the truth about who these people are. If you are a conscientious person, you need this information. I'm going to give you a phone number in a second. Call it, and for $50, you can get this special. All right? It is called Fascism and How America Became a Police State. It's only $50. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. But I told you I had a couple specials for you today. The other special I have is an 8-part series. And this is a brand new CD. It took us over a year to work on this. So you get your fascism, but then I give you one that is just going to knock you over. 8 hours, 8 CDs on We Know Who Killed JFK. Again, you're getting 8 hours for only $40. And James Douglas, Judith Baker, Roger Stone, Jesse Ventura, Robert Morningstar, Vince Palomero, James Tagg, Peter Janney, the son of Wistar Janney. We have all these great people putting all the pieces together of who had the evidence that they could present in a court of law that could withstand cross-examination to prove there was an assassination and who participated in it. There's never been a series like this ever. This puts it all together for the first time. So we know who killed JFK. That's our second special today. And again, all you have to do is call the number and you can pick it up. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Those are our two specials today. Fascism, how we become a police state, as well as we know who killed JFK. So give a call, 877-627-5065. Now, if you, before we go to a commentary from Chris Hedges, and also a comment about the Navy knew that its sailors were being exposed to deadly levels of radiation and chose to put them in harm's way, then denied it, along with the Japanese government. I'll deal with that. Here are just two examples of fascism in the United States. First, about the water you drink. And secondly, SWAT teams raiding on a little organic farm. Please listen. We'll have these right up to you. Let's see if we have, do we have these pieces ready to go? Okay, we won't, unfortunately my engineer fell asleep on us there, so we'll bypass this and I'll go into our commentary. Hopefully tomorrow they'll pay attention. This is from Chris Hedges. Food behind bars isn't fit for your dog. Shares in the Philadelphia-based Aramark Holdings Corporation, which contracts through the Aramark Correction Services to provide food to 600 correctional institutions across the United States, went public Thursday. The corporation acquired in 2007 for $8 billion by investors and included Goldman Sachs, raised $725 million last week from the sale of the stock. It is one more sign that the business of locking up poor people in corporate America is booming. Aramark, whose website says it provides 1 million meals a day to prisoners, does what corporations are doing throughout the society. It lavishes campaign donations on pliable politicians, who in turn hand out state and federal contracts to political contributors, as well as write laws and regulations to benefit their corporate sponsors at the expense of the poor. Aramark fires unionized workers inside prisons and jails and replaces them with underpaid, non-unionized employees. And it makes sure the food is low enough in both quality and portion to produce huge profits. Aramark often contracted to provide food to prisoners at about $1 a meal, is one of the numerous corporations, from phone companies to construction firms, that have found our grotesque system of mass incarceration to be very profitable. The bodies of the poor, when they are not captive, are worth little to corporations. But bodies behind bars can each generate up to $50,000 a year for corporate bank accounts. More than 2.2 million men and women are in prisons and jails in the United States. Crystal Jordan, who has spent 23 years as a correctional officer in New Jersey and who works at the Burlington County Jail, and another corrections officer at the jail who did not want to be named, told me that the food doled out to prisoners by Aramark is not only substandard but often spoiled. For nearly a decade, Jordan has filed complaints about the conditions in the jail, including persistent mold on walls and elsewhere, with the Federal Occupation Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, and state and county officials. The results of her complaints have been negligible. Quote, the big shift came in 2004 when the state got rid of the employees who worked in the kitchen and gave the food service contract to Aramark, said Jordan, who has sent several complaints about jail kitchen conditions to state and county authorities. Quote, the food was not great earlier, but the officers ate it along with the prisoners. Once Aramark came in, that changed. The bread was stale. I saw food in the kitchen with mold on it. The refrigerator broke down and the food was left outside in the cold or trucked in from another facility. Those who ate the food began to get sick. The officers demanded the right to bring in their own food or order out, which the jail authorities granted. But the prisoners had no choice. Diarrhea and vomiting is common among the prisoners. A few weeks ago, one of the officers got a bowl of the prisoner's chili. We all told him not to eat it. He ended up with diarrhea in the bathroom. Now, many of those incarcerated in prisons or jails, such as Union County Jail in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where Aramark runs the food service, echo Jordan's account. They say that sickness and persistent hunger are becoming a routine part of being incarcerated. Quote, the food gives everybody in jail diarrhea, said James Gibbs, 52, who recently spent 2 weeks in Union County Jail and previously had spent 2 years there. Quote, there was never enough food. People were hungry all the time. Al Jordan, 45, said he was in Union County Jail when nearly everyone came down with food poisoning from tacos. Quote, it was awful, he said when we spoke in Elizabeth. Quote, all the prisoners except the ones who were vegetarian and who did not eat the meat in the tacos had diarrhea for 3 days. Whenever we tried to eat anything for those 3 days, we threw it up again. We were all sweating and felt dizzy. End quote. Gordon had a job in the jail's kitchen where he helped prepare the food, usually under the supervision of two Aramark employees. Quote, there were mice running around and mice droppings everywhere. The utensils for cooking were dirty. Many of the prisoners preparing the food would use the bathroom and then not wash their hands or wear gloves. Hair fell into the food. The bread was stale and hard, and the proportions we were required to serve were real small. You could eat 6 portions like the ones we served and still be hungry. If we put more than the required portion on a tray, the Aramark people would make us take it off. It wasn't civilized. I lost 30 pounds. I'd wake up at night and put toothpaste in my mouth to get rid of the hunger urge. The only way a person survived in there was to have money on the books in order from the canteen. But I didn't have any money. It was especially bad for the diabetics, and there were a lot of diabetics behind bars. End quote. Aramark has been plagued by scandal across the country, but this does not seem to affect its ability to get new state and county contracts. More than 270 prisoners were sickened in April 2008 at Florida's Santa Rosa Correctional Institution after eating Aramark chili. Some 50 prisoners at Colorado's Larimar County Detention Center became ill in February 2008 after eating Aramark chili. Prisoners in Clayton County, Georgia, were not served heart food for over 5 months, because the pressure cookers in the jail kitchen were inoperable. In February 2009, a Camden County, New Jersey health report found that Aramark-run kitchen in the county jail had, quote, mice throughout the kitchen and storage area. Mouse droppings were discovered in butter. Several food items, including grits, chicken, rice, and beef, were not stored at temperatures low enough to protect against contamination. Prisoners at the county jail in Santa Barbara, California, went on hunger strike last summer to protest Aramark food, and inmates at Bayside State Prison, New Jersey, went on a hunger strike in October for the same reason. Aramark, the largest institutional food conglomerate in the world, assigns company employees to prison and jail kitchens to oversee the prisoners who do the cooking. Food is carefully measured and weighed under supervisors' eyes so prisoners do not receive more than the fixed amount. Even the garbage is weighed. Cheap soy products are regularly substituted for meat. Rice, potatoes, and pasta are the staples of most meals. And that's what he has to say. So, something that is right there in plain view, the prisoners are not only losing their rights to be in a society, but now they're being treated this way. And we think that this is normal. It isn't. And it shouldn't be allowed. That's your privatization. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Gary, well, I'm going to suggest that every single person in your audience listening should have the fascism set of CDs. Nothing like it. If you really want to know what's going on in the world, and everyone in your audience, if they're listening, wants to know what's going on, doesn't leave any stone left unturned. Riveting, gut-wrenching, but the just raw truth rings through the whole thing. No drama, but utter truth of why everything is happening today the way it's happening. It's all of your work, you know, it impresses me, and I learned something from it. This one is beyond anyone's imagination. Nowhere else can you get this collection of people, these scholars, these intellects coming together and just doing it like it is. Absolutely impressive.
Thank you.
Anyway, Gary, you were going to go into more about what I mentioned the other day, that gentleman from Washington who realized that when you said that the people in Washington were, he was working in a cesspool, that you were right. And you were going to comment on that.
Yes, I believe that we have to understand that everything we do in life impacts the quality of the energy within us. After all, it is the vibration of that energy that allows us to feel good. We all know what it means to have good vibrations. We know what happens when we have that pit of the stomach feeling. Now we know that we have a second brain, and that second brain allows us to know it's connected to the fundus nerve that goes to our brain. And there's over 100 million cells that specifically work at transmitting creating serotonin and dopamine. So when you say that you have a certain feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know, I had, you know, my gut reaction was, when you're saying that, what you're really saying is, you know that your body is telling you one thing, but you're going to act on your conditioning. So if we just stop for a moment, we ask ourselves, are we doing the work that we should be doing? Are we living in the environment that is ideal for us? Do we have the friendships and relationships that are nurturing, meaningful, and healthy to us? Are we honoring ourselves in a balanced way? Or are we compulsive? Are we putting an inordinate amount of time into that which does not give us balance, happiness, fulfillment? Are we just wasting time? Are we going through daily rituals? Is our life nothing more than a series of meaningless rituals without realizing we can't live this day over? Do we even pay attention to our intuition? So we are beings of light. We know that. We know, for example, that that we, when we're around good things, when we're around good people, when we're laughing, when we're joyful, when we're stimulated on different levels, creative, intellectual, spiritual, physical, that we vibrate a different energy. And all this creates harmony when it's right. And the ideal life is when you're synchronizing in a harmonic way with the people and the environment that you're in. When you find one day that you are working just to make a standard of living, you're out of harmony. And almost always when people are working in a job that is not honoring who they authentically are, then they're going to put more energy into that job, and it's going to be highly stressful. That's going to create disease. It is inevitable. You'll burn out your adrenal glands with stress. You'll start imbalancing your hormones with stress. You'll adversely affect your brain and cause inflammation in the brain and create amyloid plaques with stress and oxidative stress that comes from the stress hormones. So at some point, we just have to stop and recalibrate and ask ourselves, what do I need in my life right now to live an authentic, happy, fulfilling life? That's all. And if you start to rationalize and justify what you've done or who you're with, then you're not living in the moment. It's your past speaking through your ego to defend your actions, in which case nothing's going to change. If anything does, it's merely superficial. The person that will listen to this program, for example, and take a vitamin C tablet, but nothing else in their life is really nourishing them. You will know when you're doing something you should be doing because you feel nourished and fulfilled from doing it. You'll know that you're doing the wrong thing when you feel empty and incomplete from doing it. And so we learn to adapt to lifestyles, friendships, family relationships, environments that do not honor who we are. We both know someone that lives in a ghettoized city that is not coming back. That person has the means, the intelligence, the foresight to make the next step, but refuses to. Locked in the gridlock of fear because of things that happened earlier in life. Well, that's like living in the flow, living in the path of a lava flow. It's inevitable what the outcome is going to be. So we as individuals have to start making changes now that help us get out of harm's way. What do you think is going to happen when you're drinking? What do you think is going to happen when you're doing drugs? What do you think the outcome of eating high-fat, meat-based diets are? What do you think is the outcome if you're in a toxic relationship or you're working at a job that doesn't honor any higher principle? There's no good outcome to any of this. What you don't know is, when will you pay for the choices you've made? When will the karmic lesson come back to you? And no one knows that, but it will. So that was the lesson that I would have shared that extends that comment from that listener.
By the way, Gary, a lot of the people that are calling to sign up for the retreat are signing up for that very reason. They want to be around like-minded people. They want to be around people that are going to come together and talk about the issues, about what's going to make their life whole and much more complete, instead of, you know, adapting to the dysfunctional life that they were conditioned to live. A lot of people are coming up with that for one of the reasons, because I have to interview everybody. These are the reasons. They want to be around like-minded people and do some problem solving, and it's very, very exciting. This is shaping up, by the way, to be one of the best retreats you've ever had.
A good retreat is when you have the right people coming for the right reason and are willing to make changes in their life that don't honor them to ones that do. When people can come away making a commitment to only put into their body and their mind and their life that which encourages harmony and positive feelings and that light of being, then it's a good retreat. If people are just angry and negative and dysfunctional and want to whine and complain or find someone to blame for why they feel so miserable, it's not the right place for them, and they shouldn't call and speak with you at all, because they're not going to last. All right, I have zero tolerance for negative people or people who are so morbidly tied to their own self-righteous anger at the world, and we've had enough of those. But for people who want to change and want to be around a lot of positive people who are living happy lives, then it's going to be a great retreat, and it is a fundraiser for our sister station, WBAI, and that's what we're doing it for, to help them at this time when they really need help. But it helps the people, too. It's $2,000, and the only reason it's $2,000 is because of all the contributions of time that so many extraordinarily talented people, yoga, meditation, cooking classes, juicing classes, cleansing, rebalancing, detoxification, sound and healing, artist therapy, exercise, power walking, jogging, water aerobics, farming, all day, every day, people are going to be given so many opportunities. Plus, they can just chill out and relax, cleanse and detoxify, rebalance and reharmonize in a beautiful environment. It's the third week of January, and we look forward to seeing people there. I'm out on the road filming now, so you'll have to call Luann. Luann, give me your phone number, please.
Surely, it's 631-504-6198. We do have some openings, 631-504-6198.
Great. And we're out of time, and I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more, and especially tonight, when if you have not heard this gentleman before. He doesn't do very many interviews at all, but he is quite simply one of the most profound thinkers on the planet, Professor Ganga Dean, distinguished professor of philosophy. And we're going to talk in depth for an hour, just the two of us, a philosophical and psychological exploration into the origins of our society's dysfunction, Progressive Commentary Hour, 7 p.m. tonight. Now let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today, on the cusp of a new year, we're starting a series of end-of-year discussions on the principal impediments to power and progress.
Excellent. Utrice Lead, right now,